All right, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts 17, that's not necessarily where we'll begin, but it is the first scripture that I'm going to read with you, Acts 17. Well, thankfully, summer is almost over. I know you guys are itching to get back to school, all that stuff. You're tired of staying up late and sleeping in and swimming and all of those things. You want to get back to reading and writing and arithmetic. But we still have a little ways to go. We meet tonight, obviously. We don't meet next Wednesday because of VBS. And then we have two more of our lessons from chapter 4. And I hope that you have learned. I hope that you have grown. I hope that you have enjoyed the time with your small group. You know, we are coming to a close on this, but we still have a ways to cover. When you get to chapter 3, we're asking the question, who can study the Bible? Who can study the Bible? And I want to ask you a question and get a little feedback from you. Have you ever attempted to be really good at something but failed? All right. And what is, some of you are smiling, some of you are pointing at other people, what is this thing you wanted to be really good at, but you failed? Basketball. Come on, we think Owen's good at basketball, right? Yeah. We love you, Owen. Okay, basketball, that's an example, okay? Hypothetically, not saying about himself, hypothetically, right? What's something else? Some of you also I could point and say basketball, but I'm not going to. Grace. Playing an instrument. Oh, it sounds so fun, right? It looks so cool. You see them up doing those things, and then it's tough. What else? What have you tried to be really good at? Yeah, Cece? Hacky sack? It's like impossible, all right? Yeah, hacky sack? Anything with a ball or with running. Okay, that's quite a lot of things. Quite a lot of things, all right? JT, I saw you smirking.
I mean, there's a list.
I know, Katie already gave me that list. We'll go over it later. But let me ask you this. Why do you think that was? There's something that you're all excited about, and I want to be good at this, really good at this, and I'm going to put my neck out there, and why do you think that it didn't work? Okay, maybe you didn't put enough time into it, not enough effort, okay? Okay, you just told me of all the things you failed at, but have you ever thought of why you failed at doing them? Grady, you've never failed at anything. What do you think hypothetically? Why do you think those other people fail at things?
It's not God's plan.
Okay, look at that guy going Sunday school on me. Yes, not God's plan. I like it. What else are we thinking? Yeah, Jacob?
Lost interest.
Yeah, maybe lost interest. I like it. Sam? Okay, maybe it frustrated you. You expected to be perfect at it. It didn't come as easy as you wanted. Grace? What's that? No patience for it, yeah? Oh, you're not able to do it. You're not gifted at it, okay? That's a reality. And so I'm going to summarize just a few things. I would say these are three of the top reasons. One would be the natural ability is not there, all right? The heart is willing, but the flesh is not able, all right? You got 12 thumbs and can't catch or can't run or anything, whatever it might be. You got no rhythm. It could be that the end goal was not truly to be good, but something else. You thought you wanted to be good. You thought you wanted to be great. But in the end, that really wasn't the end goal. Or thirdly, other pursuits or obstacles took your focus or hindered you. You could have been that next Picasso, but something else caught your eye. You decided to do cross country instead or whatever it might be. I'll give you just a little bit of an example from my own life. You know, you may not know this, I can play the guitar, all right? I can play the guitar. I wanted to play the guitar, and so I put a lot of effort into it, but I'm not really that good at it, All right, I can strum a bit, I know some chords and all of those things, okay? But I would say that clearly the natural ability is not there. I first wanted to learn the guitar because I saw my dad playing and I was like, I've never seen you pick up a guitar in my life. And he was doing all these cool riffs and stuff like that. And then I was like, teach me. And then he started to teach me and I'm like, stop teaching me. And so I put the guitar away for a long time. But the natural ability, all right? So Dusty Burris, you know him, the pastor at Northlake. He and I would talk shop, little guitar stuff and things like that. And man, that guy is so gifted. So easy for him, you know? But also, the end goal was not truly to be good, but something else, all right? Why do most young men learn to play the guitar? Yeah, to pick up women, all right? And it worked, and I got her, all right? So then that was it. Okay, well, maybe I was a little bit involved in it, but I knew that I wanted to be a youth pastor, even when I was in high school, and I knew that if I went somewhere and there was no one to play guitar, well, you can't have music. So I learned, and I got sufficient, all right? Not good, I got sufficient. And so even some of our earliest youth trips, I led the music and played guitar on it, all right? But they're clearly knowing me. Many other pursuits or obstacles that took my focus or hindered me. I'm not saying that if I had poured my heart into it, I ever would have been good. I don't understand music and stuff like that. But clearly, these were three things. Now, why do I talk about this? When we talk about something more important than playing the guitar, even though playing the guitar is fun, all right, when it comes to Bible study, if you're asking yourselves, why am I not good at this? Why am I not excelling at this? Why am I not succeeding at this? All right, MacArthur walks through that in his book, and he gives six requirements. And we already talked about the first requirement, all right? Number one, you must be a believer. If you are an unbeliever, you are dead in your sins. You have no capacity to understand it. And so I would compare that to the natural ability. Now, it's not a natural ability, but you get me, right? If you're not a Christian, if you're an enemy of God, if you are fighting with the Father, you cannot read his word, and you'll never be able to read his word because there is no ability there. He said on page 84 that Bible study is hard work, but the first work that must take place is within your own heart. Apart from Christ, you will never comprehend his message. And we looked at that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man does not understand, but when we repent and believe, the Holy Spirit, he indwells us. He knows the mind of God. He is the author of the scripture. He illuminates the pages of the word of God to us, okay? So clearly, you must be a believer in order to truly study the Bible. So if you're sitting here today and you're saying the Bible's always confusing and I don't get it or whatever it is, it may very well be that you are still dead in your sins. So you need to repent and believe in Christ, and the Holy Spirit will indwell you, and then you can understand, right? Let's go on to the next requirement, okay? Requirement number two is you must be diligent. And some of you are like, I love Jesus. I meet that first requirement, but man, diligent is tough for me. Diligent is hard for me. It's a challenge. In the book, MacArthur says on page 88, in order to study the Bible, we must be diligent. We can't study scripture in a haphazard way. There has to be a commitment. And so whatever your pursuit was, maybe you wanted to be the greatest cake baker of all time, but you thought you wanted it, but you didn't really want it. So when push came to shove, you'd rather watch TV than bake that cake. You don't want to go exercise, you want to just hang out with your friends, all right? You must be diligent, and that's where Acts 17 comes in. So look at Acts 17, and you know about those old faithful Bereans and how they handled things. Acts 17, verse 10. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. These guys loved the word. When they talked to the word, they went back to it, and they studied it, and they ate it up. Verse 12, therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. They were faithful, diligent students of the word. So you have to set aside that time. You have to open up that book. You have to put aside those distractions. You have to put in the work. And that takes us to 2 Timothy 2:15, right? You are to what? Show yourself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. You got to put in the work, all right? It is not easy going through all of Job. It's not easy keeping your focus as you go through it, right? You ever get that, oops, squirrel, and then you forget what page or what line you're on. Have you ever read the psalm? You're reading the psalm, and at the end of the psalm, you're like, I do not remember anything. God is good about that psalm. Well, go back and read it again. Think through it, all right? Use those questions if you want to in the reading plan to help guide you, all right? That's what we need. We are to be faithful workers and studiers of the word of God. Are you diligent? It may be that you fail because you are not being diligent. Well, what is another requirement we see? You must have a great desire. And I would say that follows into that end goal category. You have to have a great desire, all right? I think that you're probably good at things, right? And you want to be good at those things. You enjoy those things, all right? You should want to enjoy the Bible. You should want to enjoy the scripture. Page 91, and maybe this should be the apex of our thoughts, MacArthur says, the ones who will understand the Bible are those who have a great desire to do so, which obviously comes from being saved, first of all. It says, are those who have a great desire to do so. Becoming a good Bible student will not happen by accident. You must desire it. What are some common biblical phrases that express what our desire should be to the word? What are some things that you remember in scripture when it talks about how we feel or how we should long or how we should desire for it? Like a deer pants for water. Oh, those cute little deer. What a great illustration. You think of a cool little deer running after the water. Yeah. That's a vivid picture that should teach us and should guide us. What's another illustration or a phrase?
We should desire more gold.
More than gold. But you're like, I don't even see gold anymore. You should desire it more than materialism, right? That's how much you should want it. If I said, hey, look, there's a lump of gold outside. All you got to do is pick it up. You'd probably be pushing people down to get there. You want that gold. Well, the word of God is more valuable than that. What are some of the other phrases in the Bible? Yeah, it's the bread of life, right? We should want it. Yeah, like a newborn babe, long for the pure milk of the word, all right? We get that picture. Yeah, it's sweeter than honey, isn't it? Okay. Can you honestly say the word of God are those things to you? It should be. You have to desire it in order to do it. All right, and if you're like, well, where's my desire level? I don't desire it. Well, if you don't desire it at all, you're not a Christian, all right? That's just a reality. But as a Christian, sometimes our desire can wane, and so we'll walk through the rest of this to put ourselves on the right path. Requirement number four is you must be holy, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this ties in to what we just discussed. First Peter 2. Look at verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that you may grow in it in respect to salvation. Right? That's the idea. The desire is there. The word is there. I grow. But verse 1 is important. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Okay? I need to check my heart. I need to throw that junk aside, and I need to come to God's word with an open heart ready to learn. I can't be an absolute, you know, pagan jerk running around being mean to everybody and angry and then expect I'm just going to open this up and boom, my life's going to change. All right, so the holiness comes from, obviously, that natural ability isn't there. So we receive this ability through becoming Christians. I am holy because he made me holy. But there's also that progressive sanctification that's going on where I need to put aside those sinful thoughts and deeds, right? Anyone struggle to be lazy? You don't have to raise your hands. Yeah, we could be lazy. Well, laziness is a sin. Well, I got to put off that laziness, all right? So therefore, I am growing in holiness so that I can be diligent. You know, when you're participating in immoral things, when you're thinking about yucky stuff, are you going to open up the Bible and read it? No, you have to control. You have to engage. You have to toss that aside, right? Then you may grow in according to the scripture. Let's look at the fifth requirement. You must be spirit controlled. You must be spirit controlled. All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I love this. This is probably my favorite quote of this whole book. How wonderful it is to study the scripture and know that I not only have the page in my hand, but I have the author in my heart. The Holy Spirit, through the process of inspiration, inspires the Word of God. And we now have the same Holy Spirit indwelling us to help us comprehend, all right? Comprehend and be able to understand it. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared, for this we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would remain with us, but if they went out, so it would be shown that they are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you what? Know all. Look, there's people in these churches that, oh, I love Jesus, oh, I'm a Christian. But when push came to shove, they bailed. And John is saying they bailed because they never were saved. But you are saved, and you know because you have the Spirit. Verse 21, I have written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and whoever confesses the Son also has the Father. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, this will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. And these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as he has taught you, you abide in him. So the holiness is tied into the Spirit-controlled life, right? You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help you and guide you and illuminate the scripture. Well, let's look at the last one. Look at the last one. Requirement number 6, you must be prayerful. Must be prayerful. If you're looking at this and you genuinely are saying, man, I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to know how to study God's word. I want to have that consistent, beautiful time with God. You need to be praying. And I'm going to just read what these last pages say. It says, all of these other requirements must come together in an atmosphere of prayer. You could even draw a circle around the other 5 requirements and then encompass them with prayer. I believe our Bible study must be born out of prayer. And when I study the Bible, I pray this simple prayer. Lord, I approach your word, show me your truth, and teach me what I must know. So that would be a very simple thing to say. You can come to the Bible and say, Lord, open my eyes so that I may see wonderful things from your truth. And God hears that prayer, right? And God can grant that prayer, and he can assist you in it. Paul in Ephesians 1 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you may know. Paul says, I'm praying for you. What are you praying for, Paul? That you'll know that your eyes will be opened, that you'll understand, and that you'll see the truth. If Paul prayed for us to understand God's word, then we are well instructed to pray as he did. Pray that prayer for yourself, but also think of your friends and pray that for them as well. He concludes this chapter by saying, who can study the Bible? You must be the right who, or the how won't matter. Are you born again? Do you have a strong desire in your heart? Are you diligent? Are you Holy Spirit controlled? Are you holy? Are you Spirit controlled? Are you prayerful? If you are, then you can open the pages of the Bible and God will reveal his truths to your heart. When your life is right, then the method of how to study the Bible will become productive and life-changing as you implement it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what we've read tonight and what we've studied and what we've talked about. We are so thankful for the Bible. We know that it's true, but I pray that we would live it, that we would love it, that we would desire it. And I pray, Lord, that we would walk out of here tonight changed, wanting to love you more and to serve you more, knowing that it's the value that you are worth, but also it's the best course of action in our life. May we love you and trust you in all things. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.